It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
We have made it. Welcome to the show. This is Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. There's all kinds of great information there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. So we are staying calm and carrying on. A great show planned for you today. We'll talk with Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial here sometime in the first segment, because whenever things are crazy, there's always a great opportunity. And so we'll talk with Lauren about that regarding mortgages. And second segment, Matthew Durkin is a candidate for Jefferson County DA. And we'll talk with him about issues about keeping our community safe. And in the third and fourth segment, former state senator Kevin Lundberg has a Lundberg report. And interestingly enough, we have had an unelected bureaucrat or bureaucratic office that is outlawing a whole bunch of things through rules and regulations and bans. Those are all words that are socialist words. And one of them is oil-based paint. So it's going to be really interesting to hear what Senator Lundberg has to say about all that. As we look at these issues, as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And we've seen some things happen here in Colorado with both Mayor Hancock and Governor Polis in basically shutting down the hospitality industry. And, you know, certainly we need to be concerned about this coronavirus and need to take precautions, wash our hands. If you're not feeling well, don't go out in public. However, shutting down this complete industry, it shows that and they don't do it in a measured manner. Let's see. Governor Polis is shutting down the industry for 30 days. Mayor Hancock for, I think it's 8 weeks. And that foments fear and panic in people because they're like, how am I going to pay my bills? What about my rent? And I think it is very irresponsible for these politicians to do that, because I think instead of caring about people, and they say they care about people, they actually, I think, are trying to foment panic, divisiveness, which that is what has happened to the Democrat Party. This Democrat Party is no longer the party of JFK, and I'm just very concerned that they are trying to divide us, hurt people, instead of putting through policies that are good for the Coloradoans and Americans. Steve?
Well, wisdom and discernment are two really big words right now, and people listening to us right now, we need a heavy dose of both of those, wisdom and discernment. Are there those people out there who would deliberately bring down an economy and a government based on what's happening or to happen later this year?
We're going to see. I was talking to Karen Levine, you know, with RE/MAX Alliance, one of my good friends and valued partners. And I keep hearing this voice that says it's going to be okay. 2 weeks. Let's take a look at this in 2 weeks. So let's just continue one foot in front of the other, my friends. And in 2 weeks, I think that we'll see a lot more. And I think we're going to see that these are people that are trying to take down the American way of life. And if you want to see what the new Green Deal is going to do, this is just a taste of it. Just a taste of it.
Exactly.
So here you go.
Now, let's put out a little disclaimer here. We're responsible to do this. We're not saying conspiracy. We're not saying any of that right now. It's too early in the game. But wisdom and discernment. Keep an eye on everything that is going on at every level.
Absolutely. Because during this time, this is when We see people try to take our rights. So before we get into all of this, I always, you know, being grateful for what we have is so important. I'm so grateful for our team, for Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And then for you listeners, I so appreciate you. You are valued. You're treasured. You have a purpose. Today, go out and strive for excellence. Smile at the person next to you. Say please. Say thank you. We're going to get through this. Our quote for today is Abigail Adams. She was the wife and closest advisor of John Adams, as well as the mother of John Quincy Adams. She is sometimes to have been considered a founder of the United States. She and Barbara Bush are the only two women to be the wife of one U.S. president and the mother of another. She was born in 1744, died in 1818 at the age of 73. And she said, "These are times in which a genius would wish to live. It is not the still calm of life or the repose of a Pacific station that great characters are formed." And again, that was Abigail Adams. So, Steve, are you ready for the funnies today?
Oh, I'm really loaded.
Okay. It says, don't panic. Apparently, the coronavirus is going to testify against Hillary Clinton, so it won't be with us much longer.
What difference at this point does it make?
I saw that one coming.
You saw that one coming. So we're going to talk to Lauren Levy here in just a minute. Before we do that, though, Patty, you know, she really nudged me that we need to be looking for some positive things. As she was looking through the articles, the news is just bad, 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 bad. And she said, we need to actually start to look at some positive things. She found this in intellectualtakeout.org. This is Annie Holmquist. And she says, how C.S. Lewis would tell us to handle the coronavirus. And she said, last week I saw a C.S. Lewis quote shared on social media.
Okay.
I'd seen this quote his essay on living in an atomic age before, but shrugged it off as a nice thought that didn't really apply anymore. Never mind, swap out atomic bomb for coronavirus, and the relevance of the quote becomes quite clear. And this, she goes through how to live in a coronavirus age. And C.S. Lewis said, why, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year, or as you might have lived in a Viking age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat any night, or indeed as you already live in an age of cancer, an age of syphilis, an age of paralysis, an age of air raids, an age of railway accidents, an age of motor accidents. In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. And she goes on to say that there's some really good things that are coming out of this. It's slowing down the busyness of life. Families are spending time together. And so there's some real positives that are coming out of this. Another positive I think could be very possible is, and we'll be talking with Representative Ransom about this later on in the week, is the revenues for government are going to be changing a bit here in Colorado and on the municipal level. And so maybe this is going to bring government back into their box because they're going to have to make difficult decisions about where that money goes. And so stay tuned on all this, but stay positive, stay calm, and carry on. We've got on the line with us Lauren Levy. He is with Polygon Financial. And my friends, anytime that there is a lot of disruption going on, there's always great opportunity. And Lauren Levy, what's going on with interest rates right now regarding mortgages?
You know, we're in kind of like a weird holding period right now, Kim. We came off of a couple week period of time where rates plummeted really low and a lot of people took advantage of the opportunity. And then there's just been some actual like disjointedness, I would say, in the market, just on the backside. On the secondary market where loans get purchased. And it's created a little bit of a temporary upheaval in rates where they've gone back up a decent amount to where we're on a little bit of a pause. And what we're trying to do right now is people that weren't able to refi just 2 weeks ago, we're trying to just talk to them, get all their information down, make sure they're qualified to do so, and then be ready when I think rates come back down again, which might just be, you know, could be anytime now, it could be a couple of weeks out.
Okay. And that's the really important thing right now, Lauren, is that people reach out to you and get pre-qualified. Because if we see a dip again in interest rates, you want to be ready to act. And if you can lock in something lower, it may save you thousands of dollars over the life of your mortgage. But be prepared. You know, if there's anything that we have seen through all of this, is be prepared. You know, make sure you have enough toilet paper at home. Have some bottled water. Be prepared. So be prepared in case these interest rates dip a little bit, and reach out to Lauren Levy, and within, what, about 15 minutes, you can determine whether or not that's a good idea. Right, Lauren?
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think I talk to a lot of people and read a lot, and I think the consensus seems to be that once things smooth out, which however long that takes, because, you know, the stock market was up 1,000 yesterday. It's looking to be down today. Once things smooth out, these rates will go back down again. And we just want people to be ready so that we can call them and say, hey, it's time to do it. And we don't have to go through all the application process. We can already have it done and ready to roll.
So what does that look like, Lauren? How do people do that?
So they can call us at 303-880-8881 or go to our website, www.polyfigroup.com. It's about a 10-minute conversation is really all it is. And, you know, we can guide them as to what things look like and then have them ready to go.
Well, I would recommend that people take 15 minutes and be prepared. You could save yourself thousands of dollars. And, Lauren, you work with a variety of different funding or financial institutions, so you can try to tailor, you know, a particular mortgage to that particular person. So you're not just locked into one particular company, right?
That's right. I'm what's called a mortgage broker. I work with probably 20 different lending institutions, and, you know, some of them specialize in different types of loans or have better rates for different programs. And so my job is to look around and find the best deal that I can for everybody.
Okay. So I'd recommend you reach out to Lauren Levy. That number is 303-880-8881, 303-880-8881. And that website again, Lauren?
www.polyfi.com. FIgroup.com.
And Lauren, you are a valued sponsor. I greatly appreciate you. And, you know, let's just stay tuned on all these interest rates. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Will do. Thanks so much, Kim. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. And before we go to break, a couple of things. You know, we had been promoting that we're going to be doing the Salon Series with Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice on Three Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism. That was scheduled for March 30th, and we're going to reschedule that for June just because of all the craziness that's going on out there. And I'll be reaching out to each of you as we get that date, you know, we can apprise if that works for you or not. But again, we're going to reschedule that for sometime in June. And as we look at what's going on here in Colorado, we need to buckle down and help all of the restaurants, bars, and taverns here in Colorado. With Governor Polis and Mayor Hancock's edicts to close dine-in options for individuals, restaurant workers will face some lean times. And restaurants are getting creative. Hooters Restaurants is a valued partner of mine, and they really support my shows. So let them know how much you appreciate their sponsorship by stopping by and picking up dinner to take home or have Hooters wings delivered to your front door. Try their original wings or some of their delectable smoked wings, which have half the calories. Check out my website, kimmunson.com, and click on the sponsor tab for more information. And in these interesting times, take the Queen's advice, stay calm and carry on. We are Americans, and let's act like that. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Matt Durkin is on the line. He is a candidate for Jefferson County DA. Now is more than any time, it is so important that we elect people into our public offices that care about everyday individuals, that care about the Constitution, that care about the vision of the Declaration. And so Matt Durkin is going to give us an update on issues regarding the safety of our communities. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And before we get to Matt Durkin, who is a candidate for Jefferson County DA, Patty, you know, our researcher had mentioned that it's difficult to find good news out there. And when Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, was in yesterday, you know, he is keeping an eye on the number of media mentions regarding the coronavirus. And it was yesterday over 2 billion mentions. So if you don't think that the media is trying to foment all of this, and really kind of panic people, just take a look at all those media mentions. But Patty found this from the Epic Times, and it says early U.S. coronavirus patients have fully recovered. And it says that patients across the United States who earlier tested positive for COVID-19 have fully recovered. Maryland's first three patients have fully recovered after being infected while on a cruise in the Nile River. The trio included a couple in their 70s and another unrelated person in her 50s. Wouldn't it be nice to hear a little bit of that, Steve?
It would. And again, what the media is falling flat on or failing to do, I mean, long on drama, short on facts. It's not so much the death rate that we were concerned about as much as it was overwhelming the healthcare system, which, you know, is predicted in another 1 to 2 weeks, 10 days or something like that, would be the full brunt of this. But yes, there are people who have died from it, but when you look into the research, there are people with compromised immune systems or pre-existing conditions or the elderly.
And so we're going to keep an eye on this and stay calm. We're going to take a look at this in 2 weeks. And let's jump over here, though, to Matt Durkin. Obviously, Matt, with people just whacking out about the coronavirus and their health, they're pretty concerned probably about their safety of their communities as well. Right, Matt?
Absolutely. And our law enforcement and first responders are still out there. They're still working. They're doing amazing work every day. They're building contingency plans just like everyone else. But public safety and those service calls are still going to be met. And so we were actually training in a law enforcement academy yesterday. We did it in a virtual environment. I was with another law enforcement officer, and we were just adjusting as we always do in times of crisis. So we will still be out there, and we will still be protecting the community.
So, Matt, we've been watching what's going on down at the state legislature here in Colorado. Now, they are adjourned for the coronavirus right now till the end of the month. But that doesn't mean, I'm pretty sure that they're continuing to work on a variety of pieces of legislation. And there's some things that really concern me. But what's on your radar this morning on that?
Well, it's an interesting situation right now. And in many ways, we need to stay calm and we need to stay positive. And we can kind of look at this adjournment for 2 weeks from March 14th to 28th, kind of like we look at a stock market when they stop, when there's hectic trading and they shut the market down so that everyone can calm down. Maybe that's how we can look at the legislature in this context until March 28th. There are concerns, though, about what's going to happen when, and obviously they will come back, but when they come back and when that's going to happen. There's concerns that there's things still working behind the scenes right now because there's, although they're not in session, they can certainly still talk with lobbyists and they can still talk with one another. So those are kind of offline and kind of interesting to see what they're going to come back with. But they're going to have to jam an agenda through because there is no easy answer to whether or not they can go beyond the May 6th adjournment date. So they will probably try to force all the bills through to May 6th just to be sure that those bills are constitutional. So I think that April could be a very, very wild month for the legislature.
And again, highlight or lowlight, a couple of the bills that you're concerned about that have been proposed already.
Yeah, and so that is our concern, is that most of the bills that we have talked about are still in the pipeline. They're still in between houses. And so, for instance, they are discussing reducing the penalties for violent crime. They're discussing whether or not violent criminals, including those who are convicted of second-degree murder and below, will receive 50% credit for time served rather than 75% now. And so that is in between the houses at this point. So we're very concerned about that. There's some other bills that they are creating crimes in terms of how you store your gun. And so that was just introduced before the legislature went out. So there's still a lot of bills out there that we might see kind of what we saw last year, where they will have a huge agenda, and it'll be very difficult to track those because it'll be happening so quickly, and these committee hearings will be so flush with bills and flush with testimony.
Okay. So what would you recommend that that people do during this time? Probably, I think people should be reading this legislation and really understanding it. I used to think that it was above my pay grade, Matt, to read this these proposed bills. It's not. And I would highly recommend that people, if they have, you have time on your hands right now, get your brain around what's being proposed down there.
I completely agree. Right now, we have a challenge. And with those challenges, creates opportunity. Everyone is kind of quarantined or they have to sit out for a moment. We have an opportunity to look at these bills, and we have an opportunity to call our legislators today and for the next 2 weeks before they come back into session and then throughout April and really make our voices heard and let them know that crime continues to rise. Crime is continuing to increase, and this is no time to dial back penalties. If there's to be reforms, it's to address the recidivism rate, whether it's in the jails or prison, which is one of the highest in the nation. And that's truly the reform that they should be going after rather than rewarding violent criminals with half of their time served. So this is a great opportunity to familiarize yourself with these bills and then contact your legislator.
Okay, and then let's move over to your particular candidacy, and that is for Jefferson County DA. And what we have seen is that George Soros has put a lot of money into DA races. He did 4 years ago, and there's no reason to expect that he won't do so again this year. So talk to us a little bit about your race.
He has remained active for the last 4 years in DA races all across the country. 4 years ago, he elected the DA in Philadelphia, and they have seen their murder rates just skyrocket. The relationship with the law enforcement out there has completely deteriorated, and there's their community, their crime is really just kind of going off the rails, and it was already bad to begin with. We've seen that same effect in communities that have had DA elected by George Soros, communities like Chicago, and the most recent community is San Francisco, where the DA was supported by George Soros and folks like Bernie Sanders. And that DA has come out. He's terminated many of the experienced prosecutors in the office. He's alienated already within just a couple of weeks, short of a couple of months. He's already alienated law enforcement and declared that he's not going to prosecute crimes, many crimes that he doesn't feel that are fair. So we need to step up, and I'm stepping up here in Jefferson County and Gilpin County to make sure that he doesn't do that in our homes here, because we are going through quite a challenging time right now with a whole bunch of things, including this coronavirus and what's happening with that. On top of that, we have public safety concerns. Crime is rising. So this is no time to have a DA elected by George Soros. So please go to durkinforda.com. That's durkinforda.com, where you can contribute and volunteer. And let's just make sure we keep Jefferson and Gilpin County the homes that we have loved for years and years.
Well, and as you mentioned, there is time right now. There is a bit of a reprieve. And so take advantage of this and help Matt out. This is really important. It's very difficult to thrive and prosper if you are not living in a safe community. So we want to make sure that we keep our community safe. And we wish that for Philadelphia and San Francisco and Chicago as well. But
absolutely.
But right now we have something we can do right here and now in our communities to keep our community safe. And so I would recommend to go to Matt's website. And again, that's Dirk. One more time, Matt. I didn't write it down.
Durkin for DA, D-U-R-K-I-N-F-O-R-D-A. DurkinForDA.com. Go to DurkinForDA.com to contribute and volunteer while you're sitting at home in quarantine.
Well, and that's for sure. You know, we each have 24 hours in a day, and we decide how we use each and every minute. And so instead of staying on the computer and getting whacked out about all the social media stuff that's happening, do something positive and read this legislation and go out and help Matt Durkin. Matt, we'll talk to you next Wednesday. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay, and Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, is on the line. Jason, it was great to have you in studio yesterday. It's always fun when you're in studio.
Well, I appreciate that, and I hope the listeners enjoyed it too, at least for the most part.
Well, it's great information that you had regarding the market's reaction to different viruses, and you've got some great information about the media mentions on the coronavirus versus all these other different flus or whatever. And it is astounding how many media mentions there's been, Jason.
Well, it is, and I didn't think to look this morning. Now, remember, that was Taylor Leary that came up with that original set of facts where we were getting the number of media mentions, but he did a good job. But, yeah, 2.1 billion. Compared to, for example, like 66 million for SARS through the entire outbreak. And they even had HIV on there, Kim. And there's been, like 20 times more mentions of this coronavirus than there have been of HIV since it first broke out in, I think, back in the 80s, right?
Yes. And so one has to kind of question are we trying to create some kind of panic? And certainly it's put volatility into the markets. Yesterday the market was up. What's your thoughts on it this morning?
Well, it's going to be, excuse me, Kim. Ooh, I cough. That's not coronavirus. Don't worry. It's going to be down this morning, but it's the Dow looks, the futures are down 800, which is, kind of a far less violent number than we've been seeing recently. Yesterday at the end of the day, I'm kind of bouncing around here, Kim. The Dow ended up, why is my brain locked? And I can't.
Boy, I was thinking it was
1,050 yesterday. So it looks like we're going to have a rough start this morning. I don't know how much we'll be down or well we'll be at by the end of the day. But, it'd be really nice to see is maybe a down start and then a recovery where we gain strength towards the end of the day. That's usually a pretty good clue that maybe we're trying to find a bottom. Right now, it just looks like a vertical line straight down. Mm-hmm. So, Kim, yesterday I talked we'd be looking for what's called a follow-through day. Mm-hmm. Talked about some long-term strategies on good diversified, type mutual funds where I know Bill O'Neill has said if they come down about 30%, it's not a bad time to think about buying.
And so I'd highly recommend that people sit down with you because there are good companies, good mutual funds that are a lot cheaper today than they were 2 weeks ago. And the fundamentals of the economy had been so good, Jason. We were at a record low unemployment across the spectrum, and the jobs report had been very good. And now with all of this, with closing down the hospitality industry here in Colorado, or basically closing it down, that's going to change things a bit. But I think fundamentally, there's still, great opportunity, and a lot of good companies are a lot cheaper now than they were 2 weeks ago.
Well, and it's interesting, Kim. Our economy is kind of a comparison here. Luckily, our economy was very strong and very healthy when this started. Now, we're going to see some hits in the numbers. That's unavoidable. But it's kind of the same thing. A very strong and healthy person that got this virus is maybe down and has the blahs for a little while and then recovers. And I think it's a good thing our economy was so strong before this hit because, it'll give it some resiliency to be able to recover instead of more and more areas being permanently damaged.
Well, and I think that's a great perspective on that as well. And Jason, before I let you go, yesterday I recorded my show for America's Veteran Stories, and I talked with really the guy that really started all this, the first World War II veteran. He was out here. He was a paratrooper with the 101st Airborne. Jumped into Normandy. Basically, they were the first ones on the ground, the first platoon on the ground. And there's that famous picture of Eisenhower where he was spending time with the 101st Airborne as they're going to, you know, get prepared to go get on the planes. And this guy's name's Guy Whidden, and he lives back east. And he said that the leaders said to them that they would have about a 70% casualty rate as they went into Normandy that day. And those guys went ahead and got on those planes, and they did that to fight evil and tyranny. And they knew that's much a much higher mortality rate than coronavirus. And those guys went in and they fought tyranny. They gave their lives. And we are Americans. It's kind of embarrassing how we've been acting. And I think that we need to buck up. We're Americans, and I think we should act like it, Jason McBride.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, most of the folks that, you know, that I'm around are acting like it. You know, most of my clients are not acting panicked. You know, maybe I'm just fortunate the crowds I hang out with. I haven't had to really listen to a lot of that in real life anyway.
Okay, well, I would recommend to limit our exposure to the major media and online stuff, and go out and make sure you hug your family and take care and carry on. So, Jason McBride, it's good to talk to you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, former state senator Kevin Lundberg is on the line. He has the Lundberg Report. He is doing an amazing job at shedding light on what's going on out there. But he found something very interesting that we need to let you know about. So let's go to break. This is Kim Munson, The Kim Munson Show. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's MONSON.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And be sure and go and like the show on Facebook. That helps us out a lot. We greatly appreciate that. So go like the Kim Munson Show on Facebook. On the line with me is former state senator Kevin Lundberg. He is the author of the Lundberg Report, and he is keeping an eye on what's going on down at the State House and shedding light on that, but not only at the State House, with some of these bureaucratic agencies as well. So, Kevin Lundberg, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's great being with you.
So I had gotten a text from one of our listeners that low-lighted something that you had come across, which was very surprising, regarding oil-based paints. So set this up for us, Kevin.
Well, actually, let me give you a little bit of background, because a friend of mine from Gunnison, Colorado, called me about 3 weeks ago and said, "What's this about oil-based paints being banned in the state of Colorado?" His suppliers were being told that if you want to use any paint that uses oil as its base, and understand that that's a whole range of paint products that aren't used that often, but they're very useful, they're very durable, and they're waterproof, and there are a lot of reasons why you have to use it. And that includes a lot of clear, you know, wood stains and things like that. Anyway, he was told that you won't be able to buy it after May 1st in Colorado. And so I contacted my state senator, the gentleman who took over for me, Rob Woodward, who then contacted what we call constituent services down at the Capitol, who then contacted Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, CDPHE, and said, what's this about oil-based paints being banned? What legislation approved that? And so this is the answer they gave. They said, well, we're not aware of any legislation. And so they came back to me and said, no, it's not true. So I go back to the guy in Gunnison, and he says, let me show you the regulation. And I've got it right in front of me. CDPHE actually passed a rule last year. They started it in the summer, finalized it in the fall, and it says all oil-based paints shall not be sold or even manufactured if they're to be used in the state of Colorado after May 1st, 2020. And it covers dozens of other useful products that are either going to be banned or severely restricted. Now, what they're trying to do is limit what they call VOCs, volatile organic compounds. That's something that even trees produce, by the way, but it's all under the guise of we've got to protect the air, and so they're limiting these little tiny pieces of VOCs that somebody may use from time to time and saying not in the state of Colorado anymore.
Astounding. And the list you had just put out, the A's, I mean, it was astounding how many different products will be affected by this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know, here's an example. After I put this out, as you noted on my email report, the Lundberg report, I also put it up on Facebook, and there you get a lot of interaction from people. And one gentleman said, well, that kind of explains how come I, in the automotive repair industry, am being told that carburetor cleaner is no longer allowed in Colorado. Actually, he said it'll be allowed, but it won't have any active ingredients that work. And all of this, if you read the actual regulations, and it's a huge document, it makes reference to the fact that they're following what California has put in place. And you know, California has just gone all over the top on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll grab one little thing that just because I've got it in front of me right here. It says paint thinners and multipurpose solvents cannot contain greater than 1% aromatic compound content by weight. Now, that means aromatic means it will evaporate and turn into a volatile organic compound. Now, yes, water evaporates as well, but I don't know what – I think they're banning paint thinner, but they don't say it directly. They just say no more than 1% aromatic compound. Well, my guess is – and I know that they point blank say that all oil-based paints will not be allowed to be sold in the state of Colorado. It says on or after May 1st, 2020, no person can manufacture for sale in Colorado any consumer product with a VOC content in excess of the VOC limit specified in Table 1. And it also says can't be sold. I was reading on the manufacturer side. You actually can manufacture it if you're selling it outside of the state.
That's good. That's good because air has boundaries. So, but let's unpack this a little bit more, Kevin. In America, we are supposed to be a Republican representative form of government.
And
what we have seen is this movement to commissions and boards and task forces. And all kinds of unelected bureaucrats that have the power now through rules and regulations to do exactly what you just mentioned that the CDPHE did. And ideally, when you contacted your senator, Rob Woodward, that's where the responsibility should be. And he goes through the process. And he's kind of not even given all the information. They said, no, there's no legislation. And you go, but they didn't say, oh, we did rules and regulations. That's kind of a sleight of hand, I think.
Oh, it's more than kind of. It is absolutely deception. And I'll tell you, having served in the legislature for 16 years and 14 of those, I was on the health committees. I interfaced with CDPHE, kind of a long title. I just call them the health department. they are constantly trying to get away with things, trying to slip a little bit more under the rug, you might say. This is why there's such a huge outcry on the part of parents on their new immunization exemption systems, because it's really trying to do a lot more than just keep track of things. It's trying to coerce people into certain activities and tell parents they aren't in charge. CDPHE is in charge. And in this particular case, as a matter of fact, I got an email yesterday from the constituent service person who passed on a message that the health department gave to me, saying, we would be glad to talk to you about how this impacts oil-based paint. And I'm thinking, why don't you just come out and say it? We've banned it in the state of Colorado. Now, you said that it's bureaucrats that are doing it. Yes. And my assumption was that they would straight up run a bill to say, no, you can't do this anymore. Right. Our elected officials will face the issue and, you know, make the decision. And I don't have a lot of confidence in the legislator overall. My state senator, I do, but he's not in the majority. Anyway, be aware of this. And I saw this and I was talking about this last year. Several bills were put into law last year that did empower the health department and the Clean Air Commission, which is run by the health department, to take drastic actions in many ways. And I'm sure that's the authority that they then seized on. So, no, there was no legislation that said no oil-based paint, but there was legislation that directed them to have this much power and authority. And best we can do right now is just, you know, wave a big red flag and say, look what they are doing to us now.
Well, and that is what I do with the show. That is what you do with the Lundberg Report, is we are shedding light on this. Now, you know, I think the veil is off, Kevin, on really the agenda out there. I mean, I was absolutely shocked when I heard that Mayor Hancock was closing down the hospitality industry, basically, for 8 weeks. Yeah. And then Polis comes in, because I was talking with some friends, and it's like, well, let's let the free market work out here. You know, the other municipalities around there, you know, say, hey, we're open for business here. And then shortly thereafter, Polis basically closed down the hospitality industry for 30 days. And so when we're talking about drastic measures, these people will take very drastic measures that's going to affect the health and well-being, the financial health and well-being, and kind of the mental health, if you will, of people out there. Because you've got restaurant workers that are saying, how am I going to pay my rent? And so this is a big, you know, veil's off. Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that you pivoted to that point, because that's the real solid issue today. This oil-based paint thing is a big deal, but it's an example of a bigger issue, and we're seeing that really play out right now. You know, another thing I did yesterday is I asked for what was their justification for the governor having that much authority, and it is in statute that he can, in a declared emergency, take some extraordinary action. But this is how they defined it, because this is called an emergency epidemic. And I'm actually quoting from the law right now. And it says, means cases of an illness or condition, communicable or non-communicable, caused by bioterrorism, pandemic influenza, or novel and highly fatal infectious agents or biological toxins. Their justification was, this is a highly fatal infection.
Okay.
Maybe. Maybe not, but they certainly stretched the limit, and you're right, jeopardized so much more. And they're going to have to, you know, take the responsibility for having crushed the Colorado economy. I hope what they do with the legislature is say no more bills that spend anything this year, because we don't have the money.
And that could be a real positive. You know what?
Hey, well, yeah, if you want to look for a silver lining, there it is.
That could be it. Now, let's go to break, because you just said something that is going to Victor Davis Hanson mentioned in a piece about it's let's see, what's the title of it? China Boomerang, and it's by Victor Davis Hanson. It was in the National Review. And so let's go to break, because the words that you just used in that emergency order, biological toxins, and that seems to relate back to the oil-based paint. But what if they think that other things that actually help people thrive and prosper have biological toxins? Would they use their power to shut down those things as well? So let's go to break. We'll be right back.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at KimMunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's KimMunson.com. I'm thrilled to have on the line with me former State Senator Kevin Lundberg. He is the author of the Lundberg Report. And I'd referenced Victor Davis Hanson's piece in National Review, and I had my pieces mixed up. And this the piece I was referring to was by Dennis Prager, and it is titled Why the Remedy May Be Worse Than the Disease. But ultimately, he says that, it may be that some of these bureaucrats may ultimately say that climate change is such a concern. Would they take such drastic measures with that? When you mentioned in this emergency edict that one of the things was biological toxins, I'm like, are they teeing this up for something even more draconian? Kevin, what do you think?
Well, I don't know if I would. I'll say this much. The reason I've been looking into what authority does the governor have to A, ban oil-based paints, and B, put this very, very strict requirement on, shutting down the hospitality industry and really shutting down a great deal of the state in a lot of ways, because, their dictates on how big a crowd you can have may have some prudent advice, but should it be an absolute statement? Now, this is what the governor has done. Instead of quarantining individuals with the disease, he's quarantined everybody. And I believe that he's set up a precedent that is very dangerous. And that's my point. This is a precedent that, because, okay, for the next couple of weeks, we're going to weather through this, and it won't destroy the economy. It's going to hurt it so badly that we will slip into at least a short-term recession, if not more. But does this set him up and future governors for presumed authority to do just about anything they want at any time?
That is the real question on the table. Yeah, that's the real question on the table. And just think about kind of health and well-being for people to be, cooped up in their houses because of a government edict. I had referenced, though, the positives on this. There was a piece, I don't know if you heard the first part of the show, by Annie Holmquist in the intellectualtakeout.org. She said how C.S. Lewis would tell us to handle the coronavirus. And basically, let's take a look at this as an opportunity to have some time with our families, to read this legislation so that we can take a stand, to check in on our neighbors, our elderly neighbors, to make sure that they're doing okay. When you go to the store, be courteous. We're Americans. We can get through this. But the concern over here that you and I are talking about is the setting up of a power grab now and in the future for people that we elect to office. And that's why elections really matter, Kevin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you go, This session, they haven't been quite as aggressive as they were last session. Well, it's an election year. That's not a big surprise, even though they've got some big deals like the public option on the table right now. But if you look at everything they passed in and made law from last year, they are expecting to radically reinvent the state of Colorado. You know, just look at their call for going to 100% renewable within 20 years, less than 20 years now, because it's 2040 they're talking about. 100%, that means get rid of the cars. That means get rid of the oil and gas industry. That means convert all electrical or production into solar and wind. That means things that are frankly, you know, pixie dust and unicorns within 20 years. But their aspirations and now their means, and that's what I see developing out of, you know, this heavy-handed shut everything down right now. I don't think they're really considering everything that needs to happen, but if they are, that's even worse.
Well, I think that it is really shedding light. This is another real positive on this, is that the veil is off on what is really going on. You know, this agenda has kind of hidden behind, the words tolerance and coexist and love and kindness and, you know, care for the other person. But what we have seen now is that that's not really the case, because if you really cared about the other person, you wouldn't, by government edict, shut down the complete hospitality industry here in Colorado, thereby, you know, right, creating panic and fear among our restaurant workers, our hospitality workers. You would take a more measured approach. And the other thing on that, Kevin, is the timing. A prudent person would say, let's take a pause on all this, which I'm not sure I'd agree with taking a pause on all of that, but let's say that is where you're at. You would say, we're going to do this for 2 weeks, and then we'll reassess. When you come in and go ahead.
Yeah, well, let me say, though, it shouldn't have been done by mandate. It should have been done by recommendation, which the president has done. He said, okay, social distancing, be careful, but he's recommended it. He hasn't, you know, had his federal officials come in and tell everybody, clear the streets, get out of the restaurants and close down the theaters. This is the essence of a free society. I heard a very, very sobering comment from a medical doctor who was discussing all this, where he said, well, unfortunately, in our system of government, we are not as efficient in our decision-making process. And he was bemoaning the fact that they aren't taking more strident actions here in this country. And I thought, you are describing a tyranny, a dictatorship, as having an efficient system of decision-making. I don't know if the guy knew what he was saying, really, mm-hmm. but it alarmed me. And I do believe that freedom-loving American citizens need to carefully during these first couple of minutes or first few days, because I do believe that we've got a lot of chaos going on right now. But long-term, we need to put our foot down and say, Governor Polis, you need to exercise caution and live within the liberties and the freedoms of our nation, and not try to destroy them just because you want to be a little more efficient and you want to push your agenda. Now, let's say force your agenda on us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's one other thing that let me fold in before you say, well, we're out of time, because that happens so quickly.
I know it is, and we have probably about two minutes, so go ahead.
Yeah, okay, well, good. I want to point this out, that whether or not the governor realizes it, he has put himself in a position where most of his policies cannot be accomplished in this coming year or years during his term of office, because the economy will take such a hit. I spent 2 years on the Joint Budget Committee, and I watched how you know, there's a ripple effect on this. And believe me, they've pushed a big wave over the economy. The government revenues are going to shrink. The demands on government services are going to grow. They need to just clear the table, get rid of the extra bills they've got, and start figuring out how to undo a lot of the costs that they've folded into government in the last 15, 16 months now.
And one other thing you mentioned is that demand for government services will increase. We need to stop that. We are Americans, and we need to start to look to ourselves to take care of these issues instead of looking to government. Because as we can see, what you can give to government, government might take away. And with his power, he's taken a lot of that away. So we have one minute, Kevin, final thought, and how can people get signed up for your newsletter?
Well, as far as the newsletter, we publish this once a week. Well, I do. And if you go to my website, kevinlundberg.com, there on the front page, it talks about the newsletter. Just click on that and give me your email address, and I'll send it out to you. No cost, no obligation, and we don't share our information with anybody.
And it's really, really good.
Well, we try to keep everybody as current as we can, and right now it's you know, there's a lot to be done or to be said about what is not happening and what we expect to see down the road, because it's, the legislature may be in recess, but a lot of wheels are turning down there.
You betcha. So, Kevin Lundberg, thank you so much. It goes way too quickly, but we'll get you back on very soon. So thanks so much.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Okay. Our quote for today is Abigail Adams. She said, "Great difficulties may be surmounted by patience and perseverance." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Like a new